Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. And depending on who you are, the week is going either pretty good or pretty bad. I'm talking to you, Terry. We are going to start today. We have so much fun planned for today's show. I know I say that every day, and I think it's true. But especially today, we've got a couple new segments we're going to premiere, including a Memory Lane segment. We have tons of great sound. We have a new guest from the Post-Millennial coming up in the 1 o'clock hour to give us a little update on what's happening in Seattle. I think we almost need a sound effect like we have for Chicago when it comes to Seattle, because there's a lot going on there. And of course, Joe Biden is heading to Scranton.
They call it Scranton. What? The Electric City. Scranton. What? The Electric City. Lazy Scranton. The Electric City. They call it that because of the electricity.
It's going to be electric. That goes without saying. I mean, when Joe's back in his hometown, who knows what we're going to hear? We're going to hear
like
about
when Aerosmith plays in Boston.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just
like that.
You can't get over it. It's too much. It's overwhelming. We're going to hear about Grand Pop and Corn Pop and coal mines and lunch buckets. It's everything you love about Joe, and it's going to happen today at some point. So that actually has to do with our poll question. We will get to that in a little bit. But I would be remiss if I didn't start with Terry McAuliffe, because he's unraveling. Is that fair to say? He is melting down. Whatever expression you'd like to use. I haven't seen a meltdown like this since Howard Dean in the woo. That's what I think is coming soon. But Terry's not much of a yeller. He's more of a walk off the set kind of guy. And I just want to say this. Walking off this set, even if you were in the right, which he wasn't, but even if you are in the right, you kind of always look like the bad guy. Because you got to take that microphone thing out and you got to, and it clanks on the ground and you got to rip it out of your thing and then you walk out and it just gives off a bad vibe, gives off a very diva air about you. And it doesn't help that Terry has been on this path for a long time. For people who haven't been following this, I haven't even been following it that closely. He pops up all the time because he says stupid things. But for the most part, I've just been letting it play out. I don't like to get my hopes up, you know? And it makes sense why you wouldn't get your hopes up here, because it's still tight. It's a tight race, according to the polls. Now, most times when Republicans hear tight race in places like California or Virginia, we think, well, if that's what the polls are saying, then imagine how good the Republican is actually doing and how bad someone like Terry McAuliffe is doing. So Terry McAuliffe was governor from 2014 to 2018 in Virginia. He's running again against Republican Glenn Youngkin. And right now, the governor of Virginia is the one and only Ralph Northam. And so Virginia is just, they got a lot going on there, needless to say. So Terry does an interview. But I don't know, Jared, how should we set this up? Should we give people a little bit of Jen Psaki's favorite thing in the world, a little bit of context?
I believe we should.
Because this didn't happen overnight. Like everything else, this was a slow buildup. I think that a big problem in Virginia, and we've had guests on to talk about this, especially in Loudoun County, is critical race theory. It's really mobilizing voters in Virginia, especially. And Terry McAuliffe was caught in a bad moment during a debate where this is usually the worst moments for Democrats, when they accidentally tell the truth. And I think what we should do, Jared, is play the original comment that really picked up steam. And this was Terry McAuliffe. This is a flashback from a few weeks ago. Cut 5, please, Jared.
Veto books, Glenn. Not to be knowledge about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Now, I was reading a piece today from Red State by Bonchi, and I thought he had a really good point, which is this isn't an impossible comment to defend. It doesn't mean you're going to agree with him. But he could have said, I don't think parents should have a full say on what the kids learn. I don't think teachers. I think it should be a collaborative effort. You know, he could have walked this back a little bit. He could have said, I misspoke. That's a common occurrence with politicians. You know, if they're not spending your money, they're usually misspeaking in some way. So that was another option. But he didn't take any of those options. In fact, I think at one point before the interview last night, Jared, he doubled down. Or no, you know what? This was it. And we actually did play this cut when it originally happened. He was talking about critical race theory. And rather than have an open and honest conversation with parents who are obviously concerned about this, he's going into full denial and saying, well, it's not being taught in schools. Now, I always say this about critical race theory, and I do not pretend to be an expert. I know it's a legal school of thought, and I'll never understand it. I'm just one of those regular Americans who's watching NASCAR and waiting for my treadmill to arrive at Christmas time. So I'm not going to try to pretend I understand the tenets of critical race theory. But what I do know about critical race theory is that the left refuses to define it. Depending on the argument they're in, they will say it is one thing, then they will say it is not that thing, they'll say it's not being taught in school, and then they'll hire a bunch of lawyers to defend teachers who are teaching it in school. It's everywhere. And that's exactly how they want it. I talk about this a lot. They want it to be vague. They want it to be hard to define, so that Republicans cannot debate them on it. Because they know if you debate them on it, they will lose. Actually, you know what? I don't usually do this, but Ben Shapiro has a great podcast where he talks about exactly what is in critical race theory and how it is being used in these schools, but how tricky and deceiving the liberals are being about it. Because if it's not being taught in the schools, why do you need to defend it? And if it's such a great thing, why not teach it in the schools? If you think this is such a wonderful school of thought, critical race theory, then you should want it taught in the schools. But they want to have it both ways. They want to say it's not taught in the schools. They also want to say that it's great and that it should be taught in the schools, but it's not. But you don't have anything to worry about. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an impossible argument to have. Now, Terry McAuliffe is going the route of, it's not even taught in the schools, so we don't need to have this conversation. In other words, he's gaslighting people in Virginia. This is Fox News. This is, you know, the right wing propaganda machine getting you all riled up, getting all you regular Americans all hot and bothered. It's nothing to worry about. Don't freak out. He said this and he was pressed on it by a really good journalist. Actually, I think she was just an anchor, but she was awesome. Cut three.
And Glenn Youngkin goes around saying to parents that he will ban critical race theory as soon as he's elected. Let me be clear. Critical race theory is not taught in Virginia, nor has it ever been taught. And I'll be honest with you, I find this so offensive. It is a racist dog whistle.
He says that a lot. I was thinking of a different clip, but that is his mindset, is that it's not being taught. It's a racist dog whistle. But he also can't define it. Now, let's get to the interview yesterday where he completely combusted. The first cut, Jared, which one should we play first? Oh, let's play cut two first, right? This is the actual sound of him walking off the set. Okay, cut two.
Glenn Youngkin is against every one of those. Fine, he has a Donald Trump right-wing agenda. He will ban abortions. Your viewers should be very clear on this. He wants to ban abortions here in Virginia. Yeah. He says election integrity is the number one issue. No, it isn't. Healthcare, COVID, education, job growth.
And finally.
Okay. All right, we're over. That's it. Hey, I gave you extra time. Come on, man. You should have asked better questions early on. I mean, you should have asked questions your viewers care about.
Well, we did.
I don't think the reporter appreciated that. You should have asked better questions. Because the way they set this up, I think, was to give, you know, there's the old, you know, you have to give each candidate the same amount of time, fair time. And so they gave each one 20 minutes. Now, call me crazy. If I have an election coming up, I believe it's on November 2nd, and I get 20 minutes on a local news station, I'm taking the full 20. If I think I'm good, if I think that my ideas are powerful and that people should vote for me, I'm soaking in all of that 20 minutes. And I'm going to try to get an extra 2 minutes if I can. But instead, he does 10 minutes and then leaves. And the anchor explained why. Cut one.
So if you watch those entire interviews on our website, we do want to point out that the Terry McAuliffe interview is shorter than our interview with Glenn Youngkin. That was not by our doing. Nick offered both candidates 20 minutes exactly to be fair for the interviews. McAuliffe abruptly ended 7 News' interview after just 10 minutes and told Nick that he should have asked better questions and that Nick should have asked questions 7 News viewers care about. That's what he said.
Now, this is a classic move by Democrats, but what's also happening here, and we've seen it happen before, and it actually did work. So this is kind of a new conversation to have, which is, and I've had this conversation with Howie before, when Governor Gavin Newsom, pains me to say that, I wish I could say ex-Governor Gavin Newsom, when he was being recalled, an attempt to recall him in California, he was running not against any of the Republican candidates or any of the other candidates on the ballot. He was running against Donald Trump. That was all he would talk about. You know, Trump this, Trump that. And I was like, well, Trump's not even president anymore, let alone running for governor of California. But he put Trump on the ballot and it worked. And Terry McAuliffe is doing the exact same thing. And actually, he was on CNN. I believe it was with John King.
John King was commenting on his interview with another CNN anchor.
All right. So do we have the sound of the CNN interview or is it just John King reacting to it?
It's within the cut.
Okay. It's both. All right. So he does this interview where he tries to claim that he is not running against Donald Trump. That's not a fair assessment. And then something really hilarious happens. They cut back to the panel of CNN people and they debunk his claim seconds after he makes it. Let's play this.
Right. And Terry McAuliffe was on last hour with my colleague Kate Baldwin, who essentially asked him, I'm going to paraphrase the question, you'll hear the real one. What about Glenn Youngkin?
Do you see your only path to success here as making this Terry McAuliffe versus Donald Trump?
No, I have spent most of this campaign. If you look at my advertising, what I say on the trail, there's huge differences, Kate, in this campaign. I'm for raising the minimum wage to $15. I'm for paid family medical leave. I'm for paid sick leave. Glenn Youngkin is against every one of those. He wants to ban abortions.
We did just look at his ads. I mean, you know, sorry, Terry, but
right. That ad does seem to look. I get what you're saying there, but that ad does seem to still be a part of a trend we're seeing that Democrats are putting Trump on the ballot.
That's not what you were supposed to say. Come on, man. That's not right. I mean, obviously, he's putting Trump on the ballot. Because that does mobilize people who are Trump deranged. But I think the longer time goes on, we're like 9 months into the Biden presidency, it's not as powerful as it used to be. It's losing its steam. And we will keep an eye on this race. Anytime Terry McAuliffe has another little meltdown or hissy fit, might be a better way to describe it, we will keep you posted. 844-500-4242. A lot of news to get to, a lot of great sound. And also, we're going to give you an update on vaccine mandates because something's happening. You know when like you're pushing, when people are pushing a fence or something and it takes a long time, then all of a sudden it starts to cave and then the whole thing comes down? It's starting to feel like this pushback from the American people is working. And I want to discuss that. 844-500-4242. Do not go anywhere. We have so much more to get to. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato chips.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
It's going to be a show about snowflakes today. I just feel it. As it gets chillier out, the snowflakes are making themselves seen, and there's a story in the Huffington Post. It's wild. I'm not going to read it in this segment because I don't have the time that I need to dedicate to this absolutely bananas piece of writing. And this is the title, though. I'm going to give you guys a little taste. There's a COVID testing scam in my LA school, and no one is listening to me. This is a teacher from an LA school. Earlier this semester, many students at the school where I teach in Los Angeles confessed to me and each other that on more than one occasion, they faked results for the COVID test they are required to take each week. This person, who has to remain anonymous, is freaking out. He is looking at these students with their noses poking out of their masks as sinners. That's not my words. Those are his words. We will get to this on the other side and we will read the entire thing. It's wild. I almost think this might be like someone from the Babylon Bee pulling one over on the Huffington Post and seeing if it will get published, because there's parts of it that just read as like very comical to me. So I can't believe this is a real person. But hey, you know, I follow libs of TikTok. I wouldn't be that surprised. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. We'll be talking with Steve Anzoni during the show today in the 2 o'clock hour. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will Scranton Joe mention first today?
Ooh.
Coal mines, corn pop, his pop, Jill's husband, or football?
You know what? I'm tempted to say coal mines because he's in Scranton and this is when he really gets back to his roots. But because of how well the I'm Jill's husband played yesterday with that gaggle of females at the White House who were just digging his comedy set, I'm going to say Jill's husband.
Jill's husband is in the lead.
Wow, really?
35% say coal mines, 15% for his pop, 8% for corn pop, and 0% for football.
I was going to say God love you because he usually starts off, oh, sit down, God love you. But that would have been too easy. All right.
You got good blood, kid.
You've got good blood, kid. That might be one of the scarier things he's ever said.
You got good blood, kid.
Let's go to Adam. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. I just want to talk about critical race theory and also schools in general. Basically, teachers should only teach three things in school: how to read and how to write, and how to use your imagination. Unfortunately, that's not being taught at all because we are so far behind in the world scale of education. I mean, it's disgusting. Forget about critical race theory. These kids can't even write and read when they leave school. So that would be my one concern. Everybody stresses education, but nobody does anything about it. Throwing money at the problem doesn't solve a darn thing. We need to have education and need to excite these kids, because if they can read and write, they can go on YouTube or places like that and practically learn any skill they want. So, except obviously brain surgery, but it's not brain surgery to teach kids how to read and write, that's for sure. Great. Yeah. Thank you for your time. Bless you.
Thank you, Adam. And a great point. I remember one time there was a woman, I don't know if it was a quote, but there was a woman who said she didn't have a lot of money when her kids were growing up to take them places. So she bought them books, and she said, if you can read a book, you can go anywhere in the world because you have your imagination and you have a book. And I thought, it's a beautiful concept, and it's very true, and unfortunately, Adam's right. Now, when we get back, I want to keep going with this theme because they're not worried about reading and writing. They're worried about canceling Halloween. They're worried about Dave Chappelle, and they're worried about COVID. We will be right back with a lot more.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Our last caller, Adam, brought up a great point. He was talking about kids right now in schools, and this is something that comes up every once in a while, as it should. The kids have been through quite a rough 2 years, and I don't think it's talked about enough. In fact, Carol Markowitz often writes about the fact that these kids have been pretty much forgotten, like pushed aside. And one thing that she points out a lot that's very ironic is the same people who talk about how damaged they are and how fragile they are from all of life's injustices are somehow convinced that these kids are going to be incredibly resilient from all of this nonsense. Like, oh, they're going to be fine. Oh, they can wear masks for the rest of their lives. Doesn't matter. You think that's going to affect them? They'll be totally fine. They don't need to see people's mouths. They're strong, these kids. That's the attitude towards all of this. And it doesn't help that there's no desire from the CDC, from the Democrats, from our political elite to follow the science. And I want to play a cut here from, you know who it's from. We haven't played this sound cut in a while. It's from Rochelle, Rochelle. She's back in the news. She did a TV hit today, and we are going to play this. She's talking about recommending masks. Now, you think because the FDA is trying to get all these shots of these vaccines approved for kids 5 through 11, if I'm a little kid, I'm thinking to myself, maybe we're at the end of this now. Like, you know, the only reason they held this over us for this long was because we're not vaccinated, despite the fact that, you know, they're not really super spreaders, these kids, and they definitely have a better chance of getting the virus without getting very sick, let alone dying. There's a very, very small chance of that. But you have to be thinking, if you're a young kid, all right, I'm getting close to the end of this road. Well, Rochelle is here to tell you that that will not be the case. Cut 19.
As we head into these winter months, we know we cannot be complacent. We also know that from previous data that schools that have had masks in place were 3.5 times less likely to have school outbreaks requiring school closure. So right now we are going to continue to recommend masks in all schools for all people in those schools. And we will look forward to scaling up pediatric vaccination during this period of time.
Now, this is on the heels of the White House rolling out a plan to vaccinate kids ages 5 through 11. As Ben Shapiro points out, he references Dr. Margie McCary, who's been a frequent guest on Howie Carr Show. According to Margie McCary, a grand total of 10 to 20 children without significant pre-existing conditions have died of COVID-19 in the United States over the entire course of the pandemic. I have kids. This is Ben Shapiro. I have kids who are 7, 5, and 1. I get the case for vaccinating. I'm extremely pro-vaccination generally. We also have no data on this vaccine for kids. We also, or long-term data on this vaccine for kids. We also know the government is pushing 2 shots, but there is, he references that condition that a lot of these kids are getting where the water surrounds the heart. I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor, but you probably heard a little bit about that. But it's this idea that these kids are like these little monsters to liberals. They really think they're carrying this and they're going to get them sick. And if you don't believe me, I have an insane piece to read to you. This is from the Huffington Post. And I saw this and at first I was like, is this a joke? Is this the Babylon Bee? Because this cannot be real. It's titled, "There's a COVID testing scam in my LA school and no one is listening to me." And that's why we're on the topic of snowflakes in this segment. And that's not it. That I mean, I don't know if people also saw that the CEO or the co-CEO of Netflix has apologized for backing Dave Chappelle's special. We will get to that as well. We're all becoming so soft. Like everything is worth crying about and worth worrying about. And these kids are the ones who are going to deal with all of this nonsense. They're going to have long-term repercussions for all of our bad, insane, selfish decisions. Now listen to this teacher. "Earlier this semester, many students at the school where I teach in Los Angeles confessed to me and each other that on more than one occasion, they faked results for the COVID tests they are required to take each week. They do this by converting the PDF of their results to a Word document and then changing the dates." Those crafty kids. You know what that reminds me of, Jared? So, and Jared will know exactly what I'm talking about. When we were in school and you had to get the, you had to say, write a 2-page paper. You couldn't get it to 2 pages. So you take the period and you make it like size 14 font. There's all these tricks the kids have to cheat the system. And that's not the only one. I mean, people have, or you know what my favorite thing to do was? I would, when a paper was due, I would send it and I would say, "Here is the paper." And I just wouldn't attach anything. And that would buy me another like 5 hours. And the teacher would write back, "Nothing was attached." "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Something, there must have been a glitch in the system." Because adults always believe that.
Courier New, double spaced 12 font.
Yes.
The best.
No, there's, everyone has those things they used to do. And this is amateur hour. You know what I mean? Like anyone could do this. A 10-year-old could figure this out.
This is changing an F to an A with a marker, like a yellow marker on your report card.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
This is not tough stuff. So I'm surprised this LA teacher is that wowed by this. Okay, so they do this by converting the PDF of their results to a Word document and then changing the dates. When I asked why, one student just shrugged and said, "It's less of a hassle." I suppose this explains why the COVID testing sites on campus are seldom crowded, even though students are required to be tested regardless of vaccination status and the school's COVID updates remain stagnant. I tried this scam myself weeks ago. When I approached the security guard at the entrance kiosk where students and teachers are checked for symptoms and test results, I felt like I was hiding a ticking bomb, not a doctor test result, in my briefcase. Though, maybe it's the same thing. The guard glanced quickly at the document and waved me through. It was that easy. I do, in fact, get tested every week for COVID because I care about the health and safety of the people I work with and teach. But I've frequently shown altered test results over the past several weeks to see if I'd ever get stopped. It's never happened. And as far as I know, no one else has been stopped either. Am I happy about this? Hell no. I contacted the administration at my school, but as far as I can tell, there have been no changes to procedures, and tests are still being doctored. As Albert Einstein once said, the world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do bad things, but because of those who look on and do nothing. I think we need to keep the music going. It's really adding to this, Jared. Meanwhile, in California, COVID cases for those 17 and under have surpassed cases reported for those over 65. Well, that's because people over 65 are all vaccinated, but we'll get to that in a second. I don't want to ruin this guy's, you know, momentum. According to our union representative, approximately 65% of our student body is vaccinated. Because of that, I teach gripped by fear. Fear of the 5 or 6 unvaccinated students in each class of 35 to 40 students sitting less than 2 feet from each other. Fear of the reckless students who blatantly and constantly let their masks slip off their faces. Fear of the untested students. Fear of the students who are doctoring their test results. And fear for the exhausted teachers and other school employees who have to deal with this on a daily basis. Sadly, this fear now informs how I teach. I can be in the middle of a lecture on Dante's Divine Comedy and right in the middle of discussing the labyrinth of circles and subcircles in the Inferno, I will spot a transgressor. He sits 5 seats to my left with his nose poking out of his mask. He's just inches away from the student in front of him. Rather than concentrating on divine justice and the punishments measured for hell's many sinners, I'm focused on a sinner right here with me. I'm going to skip around here a little bit because he gets into Dante and all this. "Can you please pull up your mask and cover your nose?" I growl like a beast, fire spewing from the sides of my K95 mask. KN95 mask. There's not much else I can do until the district's vaccine mandate for all students over 12 goes into effect in January. My hands and the hands of my fellow teachers are tied. Without the support of our administration, some students will remain untested and continue to provide doctored test results to get into school. I think I'm going to end it there. He goes into listening and case numbers and... Actually, you know what, Jared? Give me one more round of this because I'm going to finish it off here. Now I am doing the same. I tried to call attention to the COVID testing results scam happening in my school and nothing happened. I felt like a frustrated, triple-vaxxed, double-masked observer in the 9th circle of hell! The one reserved for the kind of sinners who betray their humanity and fail to recognize the deadly toll of this pandemic. But I can't merely observe any longer. I'm hoping this essay might amplify my voice. I'm hoping someone might finally listen to me and do something. Watch out, Greta Thunberg. I'm coming for your throne. Okay? That was some Bane-style stuff right there.
I
have chills for my own reading.
I'm not surprised. This is an English literature teacher. That's all I'm going to say.
Kudos, bro. This was... Oh, and by the way, he had to have a pseudonym because he fears for his safety and his privacy. And also fears of COVID and nose poking out of masks. I mean, the list goes on and on. Due to concerns regarding privacy and safety, J.S. Heaney is a pseudonym. I have a feeling J.S. Heaney works for the Babylon Bee and just pulled the greatest scam of all time on the Huffington Post. And I would not be surprised by that. That would be a great ending to this story. And again, I say this all the time. I feel like I have to keep saying it. I'm not making light of COVID. I know COVID is serious. I know people have died of it. But you're around teenagers. They're not... You're double vaxxed. You're masked. They're masked. What more can we do here? Short of putting J.S. Heaney in a bubble and wrapping him in plexiglass and sticking him in a pool of hand sanitizer, I don't know where to go from here. And that Albert Einstein quote about, like, oh, people who look on and do nothing, I just have a feeling he wasn't thinking the world was going to be like this. I don't think that's what he would have used it in reference to. Is this guy walking in with a PDF of his test results like he's holding on to a ticking time bomb? That was the craziest part of it. Is he felt like he was carrying in a bomb.
Yeah.
I can't pretend to relate anymore. I can't. It's become like this hobby for people, this obsession. And I never realized how many hypochondriacs are in our society. And I'm not like that. And I understand that for some people, this has very much triggered that part of them. But now it's become this virtuous thing where I'm going to show everyone how paranoid I am. Like paranoia has become a virtue in our current society. And it's not healthy.
Yeah, and it's clearly, we always talk about, oh, the church of COVID, the religion of the mask, you know, blah, 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 maskafarians, all that. But clearly, using the term sinner, this guy is full-on high priest, Sea Orc in the church of COVID.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. I'm vaccinated. Most of my family's vaccinated. I have no problem with the vaccination. I'm very pro-vaccine, but if someone calls up and says, I'm not getting the vaccine, I don't want to, I don't care. Since when do we all care so much about what other people do? And it's also narcissistic. Like, oh, you're going to, your droplet. And meanwhile, he's yelling at people to put their masks on. I'm sure he's got more droplets spewing out of that thing. He said he was spewing fire like a beast. That sounds like someone who's spitting a little bit. I've seen people spew fire like a beast. Keith Olbermann, Joe Scarborough, you know what tends to happen? They tend to start foaming at the mouth. That's not good. That's droplets. Am I wrong?
Nope. And I don't know how to tell J.S. Heaney. That was the pseudonym.
Yes.
Okay. The lack of magnificence in your soul is not going to be filled by harassing kids.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. It's, you know, there's certain things where people say, it's not a personality trait. That's like something younger people say, you know, oh, liking, for example, like liking Star Wars is not a personality trait. Luckily, you have a lot of other hobbies and things you like to do. But that's just an example. Like for here's another one. I really love the royals. You know, being obsessed with the royal wedding is not a personality trait. There we go. Now we're even. But this COVID thing has really become a personality trait for people. Like this guy's whole life, his whole sense of self-worth is caring about what other people are doing with COVID. And it's just Hall Monitor City up in here. Lord, God bless those kids who have to be in his class. As if reading Dante's Divine Comedy isn't brutal enough. You've got this guy teaching it to you. By the way, you said, oh, what's his name, J.S. Heaney? You remember that name, okay? That's going to become one of the most famous pseudonyms of all time. It's not the last you've heard of him.
I'm scanning in my Rolodex of literary authors to figure out which words and like what he's taken it from.
We'll break it down. during the commercial break. The Aviva Trattoria Tour of Italy is back. Two new dates have just been added, one in Maynard on Tuesday, November 9th, and Tuesday, November 16th in Malden. This is coming up really quickly, and you want to hop on this right away because these events are so fun. I went to one in Malden. Howie went to one in Maynard. We both raved about it with everyone here at the studio. People were actually telling us, like, all right, stop bragging. I mean, we had full meals. There's like five courses, tiramisu, a roast pig, not to mention the wine. That's a little bit of a bonus. If you love a nice glass of wine, you get a couple of different kinds and they're all delicious. They have a guitar player who usually comes. It's really a festive experience and you cannot beat this price point. I've asked Marcy so many times, are you sure this is the price? Because it does not seem like it's possible for you guys to mark this that low, but that's what they're doing. And they really want people to enjoy it. So the best part is, I couldn't even tell you what the best part is. Is it the tiramisu? Is it the roasted pig? Is it the wine? It's all delicious. I think the best part though is just being out and having fun with people. And it's a beautiful restaurant and great service. So don't miss out on one of these dinners. There's free parking at both locations. Grab your tickets today at AvivaTrattoria.com. That's AvivaTrattoria.com. We will be right back. We're going to talk about Dave Chappelle, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
I want to see if you can guess who it is I'm doing an impression of. Duh. Hey, duh. If you do anything wrong in your life, duh, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're finished. Who's that? That's you.
All right, so that was an old Dave Chappelle cut of him commenting on cancel culture, and his recent comedy special on Netflix has caused a lot of controversy with Netflix employees specifically who were offended by it. And at first, the co-CEO defended it and basically said, listen, everyone has different tastes. Everyone has different things they find funny. We're about the freedom of speech. Well, he's backed down from that. He says he should have recognized the fact that a group of employees was really hurting. And to that, all I have to say, I say it all the time, where have all the cowboys gone? Why is everyone so quick to bend the knee to the woke, offended, crybaby mobs? That's all I'm saying. Tim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Grace. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Love the show. Hey, I got to just thank you. You really put me in the Halloween spirit reading that story with the teacher from California. We just need to put some Edgar Allan Poe music behind it, I think. And it's going to be perfect.
It really is.
Hey, also, I'm going to
wild. Go ahead, Tim.
I also wanted to say two things real quick. First of all, I saw you on, like, Newsmax. It must have been maybe 4 months ago. I didn't know it was you. I'm like, hey, is that Grace? And all of a sudden you said, but. And I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, are you the guy who emails me that I say but too loud? But.
I don't know if I emailed you, but I definitely didn't know it was you and you said the word but.
All right. We did a little hate mail Monday on a Wednesday on the Grace Curley Show. No, I appreciate it, Tim. We will be back with more. But don't go anywhere.